May we turn to John's Gospel, chapter 15, please. We read the first 16 verses. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue or abide ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Now I'd like to couple this with a verse or two in the Song of Solomon, the fourth chapter of the Song of Solomon, and the eighth verse. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse, with me from Lebanon. Look from the top of Amana, from the top of Shinar and Hermon, from the lion's den, from the mountains of the leopards. I suppose you wonder why I read that passage in the Song of Solomon. But perhaps we'll find the connection in a moment. The subject before us here is fruit-bearing and communion. And what might break that communion and so fruit-bearing. It isn't my purpose to try to expound this chapter, beloved, this afternoon. I just want to say a few things that are on my heart in regard to communion. We find the Lord Jesus is the true vine, and his people are the branches. Now, if that link is broken, as far as our spiritual life is concerned, we have nothing. Nothing. And we find that the moment you become a Christian, the enemy makes a special bid for you. He He comes in many ways because he wants to break that communion. And if that communion is broken, then you have nothing left in your spiritual life. And so we find that the branch that's connected with the vine brings forth fruit. Now at the same time, there's a pruning process goes on, so that the branches that don't bear fruit, anything that's superfluous is cut off. You know how much there is. You know the leaves and the branches only speak of human glory. That which exalts man, and we don't want that, do we? What we want is that which exalts Christ. Now, I really believe, at least in part, that the fruit that's spoken of here is that which is so precious to God, and that is your presence with Him. And how can this be accomplished? Well, as we read His Word and we pray, we find ourselves in the presence of God because it's His Word. That's the practical side of things. It's simple, isn't it? In fact, it's so simple that we neglect it. And little by little, the enemy comes in and our poor hearts go after the glories of this world and the things that appeal to the natural senses. Communion is broken. The heart takes up with something else. And we're on our way to a life that's wasted if it's not arrested. And so in love, he comes, the husbandman comes, and he prunes off that which is not needed. He does it in his own way. And you know, it's been said that the Lord is never nearer to you than when he's pruning the vine. That's a precious thought. You know, sometimes you look at the vine, the grapevine, and you see it at a certain season where the husbandman, whoever he may be, has cut off most of the branches. There isn't much left. In fact, it looks rather ugly to look at it. But you come in springtime. You come in fruit season and see what happens. I was talking with a young man today who's here, and he doesn't mind my mentioning this, but he was at a place where there were those who understood grapes. And one of the men made a comment as he was giving a lecture. And he said that, you know, that grapevines that are under a great deal of stress quite often produce the sweetest and the best wine. Think of it. Stress. Pruning. Well, how good it is that God loves our souls and He wants us to be happy here. And you know, there's one thing about this passage, as we read it, we discover that when you and I walk in the path of faith, communion, there are three that are made happy: God the Father, God the Son, and yourself. Because God finds His delight in the happiness of His creature. He finds His delight with you and me being in His presence in communion. And not only that, is no power in our lives for testimony, for service, and there's no joy in our lives, really, if communion is broken. Now, what about these mountaintops that we read about, Solomon? Because the Song of Solomon is the same subject, is it not? Communion? You know, there are two scriptures, the Old and the New Testament, in the Old Testament, I should say. There's the scripture that we read about Rebekah and Isaac. As Rebekah makes her way on to meet Isaac, we read of nothing that seems to disturb her. She's quite occupied with what Isaac has to tell, the servant has to tell her about Isaac. But in the Song of Solomon, we have turbulence, trials, testing all the way through. Just two pictures of the experience of the believer as he makes his way homeward. Now, one who goes on in communion and obedience to the Word of God, he misses a great deal of this tribulation and so on, but he still needs the pruning. Still needs the pruning. You know how good it is that there is the pruning. And so we find that in those mountaintops, those things that the natural mind and heart go out after, those things that are elevated in our eyes, our natural eyes, as we saw in the Song of Solomon, all these things that attract our poor hearts, I say are because it attracts every one of us that's here. And we need continually to be in communion lest we go after these things. Well, these things that attract our hearts, there lurks right there those which speak of Satan and his power. Those wild beasts referred to. And so they're lurking at these places. We don't suspect this when we go after such things. But it's true that the dangers are there lurking by these, in these elevated places that are elevated in our minds. But I want to ask you, dear friends, this afternoon, is there any elevation that you can find in this world that compares with communion? There was a time when David sat before the Lord, and the Lord told him about his house for a long time to come. And you know what happened after that? David failed. Oh, what a comfort to David, because God's word never changes. God knew what David was going to do. But at that moment of communion, God had filled David's heart with that blessing in knowing what was going to happen to his house for a long time to come, and it sustained him in his trial so he could go through it. Isn't that precious? And that's what we have in our chapter. We have, as we notice a little later on, that not only that they might be in his presence, but that they might have his mind too. And that's what we get in his presence, isn't it? We get to know his mind, what he likes to have us do. Are you in a position this afternoon where you're troubled? You'd like to do something, but you're not sure? Well, here it is. Communion makes it sure. Sure. sometimes good it is to be clear as to our path and not act unless we are. And sometimes God answers in that way so we can wait upon him. And now let's notice one or two things in this chapter. We notice first, now are ye clean, the third verse, through the word which I have spoken unto you. This is basic, isn't it? We're clean through the word, that is, faith, believing the word. That's what makes us clean. And you know, there's no communion unless we're clean. What does it mean to be clean? Every spot and every stain is gone. Now, there's satisfaction of heart. There's rest. There's peace. What's going to break it? And so we see this communion here, but there's something that might break it. And that's our poor hearts going out after something else. And so he says, abide in me, continue in me. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. Nearness to Christ, as we were singing in our little hymn. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Now we've had fruit, and then in the second verse, more fruit, and now we have much fruit. That's growth, isn't it? No, we don't stand still in our Christian life. Oh, how good it would be, dear ones, this afternoon, if this were the path that we were in right now. Our hearts at rest, satisfied, as we sing, satisfied with thee, Lord Jesus, we are blessed. Do we really mean this? Do I mean it? Do you mean it? Oh, we have to confess often that our poor hearts go out after this or that. But as that little hymn in the appendix gives us, that we might quickly return to this place, should it be so, that we might be kept in communion. Notice this end of this verse. Without me, verse 5, ye can do nothing. How about your plans? Are they leaving this out, communion? Are they leaving the word of God out? The principles that guide us, without me you can do nothing. 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 Empty life. The result. Sixth verse, I suppose, refers to Judas. He lost his life. This one and the next one. Poor man. He was with Christ for 3.5 years and lost everything. How sad. His portion, the blackness of darkness forever. Aren't you glad you're saved from the wrath to come? Should there not be a response in return from these poor hearts of ours, the one who saved us from so great a death? Now it says in the seventh verse, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, in that you bear much fruit. Unless there's the energy of testimony to others, in our lives, there'll be a decline. Whether it be in a large assembly or a small one, it makes no difference. Unless there's that energy of testimony going off to others, there's bound to be decline. Read church history and you'll see. Is there a positive testimony in my life? Well, you say, shall I make one up? No, don't do that. See if you're not in communion, because if you are, there'll be a testimony. It may not be like the other man that's next to you, the brother. It might be quite different. But there'll be positive testimony in your life. Is this communion? Otherwise, there's decline, falling away. However, fruit here isn't simply giving out 1,000 tracts every year or preaching on the street. That isn't the point. No, the fruit is that answer of our heart to that great heart of love above, communion. And it's fruit for him. And it's the joy that the Lord Jesus speaks of here. Now I'm going to go down to the ninth verse. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Abide in my love. That which characterizes that new life, love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. How simple it is. One verse following and explaining the other. Abide in his love, how? If you keep my commandments. Now, what commandments is he speaking of? The law of Moses? No. No. He's speaking about that which he has set before them, which, of course, in principle, includes the whole Word of God from cover to cover, because it all speaks of Christ. But there are certain things that he set before his own which would lead them in that simple path where they would be kept in communion. Because simplicity, you know, keeps us in the presence of God. Simplicity. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Now, what joy is the Lord Jesus speaking of here? My joy might be in you. Is it the joy that he had with the Father back in eternity always? Well, yes, but in a different way. It's the joy of the man Christ Jesus down here walking in a world that's contrary to him at every step. And it's that joy, beloved, of communion with the Father continually that the Lord Jesus had, that he wanted his disciples to have. And that's what would preserve them. That your joy might be full. Communion. What are the riches of God's glory? You get them in Ephesians 3. Well, it's that which has to do, beloved, with the inner man. And how is it known? To know Christ. To know Christ. That's the secret of it all. What is the key of knowledge in the Gospel of Luke? The Pharisees have set aside the key of knowledge. Do you have it? Christ. It's Christ. It isn't something about Christ. Beloved, it's Christ. Christ, he of knowledge. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him. Now, greater love is no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends. Ye are my friends. Ye do whatsoever I command you. Supposing I fail and I don't do what he commands me, am I no longer his child? Oh, that's not the subject here. The subject here is communion and fruit bearing. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. No, we're always his children once we're born, made clean, as he says. But oh, how often there has to be that restoration in our souls to bring us back into the enjoyment of that same joy that he had as he walked through this world. Now, what about the friends? Well, he tells his friends all his mind. Isn't that lovely? We get it put differently in Ephesians 1, a little more formal way, but it's the same thought. He makes known his mind to his friends. You want to know his mind? He makes it known to his friends. Burn the candle in the midnight to study the word? Well, that might be all right, but this is first. This is first. Be sure that you're a friend in the practical sense. Keep my commandments. How would anyone know that we love Christ? By because we said we're a Christian? No. Because we keep his commandments. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. You know, the night cometh when no man can work. I know it's not the subject here necessarily of giving out the gospel or this or that, but it's fruit bearing. But still, it includes all of this. It's that energy that characterizes the new man as the result of communion. Because whatever, let's remind our hearts afresh, beloved, whatever is done outside of communion amounts to nothing.